Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting.
Indeed, indeed. Today is the day. If you're just joining us, this is Mornings with Carmen, the second hour. I don't know, maybe that's what we should now be calling this. Today is tax day. It's April the 15th. If you have procrastinated to this point, you literally have no more time to procrastinate. If, however, you find yourself in the emergency room of a hospital and you have not done your taxes, guess what? There's actually a ministry out there that's deployed into hospital emergency room waiting areas to help people finish their taxes today. I don't know about you, but that is like a gracious thought. That is such a gracious thought, right? Like, who out there is going to really need help if they have pressed it to the final hour? And those folks certainly qualify. The Boston Marathon is going to get underway in just 2 hours. So let's be praying for a peaceable run today for those who are engaged in that. Today is the fifth anniversary of the kidnapping of the Chibok girls in the Borno state of Nigeria, a community known as Chibok. There are 112 girls still missing. I want you to think about that. 5 years on. 5 years on. Those families, they know who took their girls, but they are unable to get them back. And I mean, in the spirit of grieving with those who grieve, that is just grievous today. Obviously, we are praying today for our neighbors in the southern swath of the country who suffered such devastating storms over the weekend. And we pray for those in the northeast where the storm is now headed. Pray today also. The Red Cross has revealed that a nurse from New Zealand was kidnapped in 2013 by ISIS. And they now have indications that she may actually still be alive. And so there are some conversations going on about gaining her release. Thank you again to all of you who participated last week in Spring Share. We certainly appreciate it. If you didn't have an opportunity to join us, you can still do so by visiting myfaithradio.com, or you can give us a call at 877-933-2484. Dr. Linda Mental is waiting in the wings. She and I are going to talk about a headline. Actually, NBC News is carrying it. Linda has written about it. It's the question about active shooter drills. Are they good for our kids? Are they a good idea? Are they actually scaring our kids and leading them to be less feeling less safe at school? So Dr. Linda Mental up next here on Mornings with Carmen.
This is my fight song. Take back my life.
Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge, joined now by Dr. Linda Mental. She joins us via Skype. Linda, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be with you, Carmen. I want to say a shout out to my nephew, Chris, who's in your listening area. It's his birthday today. So amongst all the other news, there are people having birthdays as well.
I love that. Hey, Paul, get the birthday music queued up. And as we go out to the break, we're going to sing a little happy birthday to Chris.
I'll see what I can do.
All right. Thanks, man. So, Linda, you are covering this subject matter area on this question of school shootings, and you have written about it. Are school shooting drills a good idea? It actually also just popped in my headlines. It's a leading article at NBC News. Very, very similar in title. Active shooter drills are scaring kids, may not protect them. Some schools are taking a new approach. So this is something that's going on for people who have kids in school. This is something that they know is happening, and they have actually seen a rise in the anxiety of their kids as these active shooter drills have taken place. So talk about active shooter drills for people who are not familiar with them, and then give us your perspective on it.
So I've been following the school shooting events, unfortunately, for many, many years. The very first book I wrote, Carmen, was back in 1999 after the Columbine shooting, and it was called Kids Killing Kids, and it was trying to figure out what's going on, why did this happen, and that was one of the first events, obviously, that most of the public became very aware of. And then since, we've had so many of these shootings. And I want to say right up front that even though we hear about these shootings in the news and they're horrible, they're just horrible. And I just can't imagine if that happened in my child's school, how I would feel as a parent and as a child. Because it would spike anxiety among anybody if that happened. But I still want to say that these events are rare and they don't happen that often. So that isn't to say that when they do happen, they're not traumatic and significant and creates a lot of problems for both parents and children in those schools. But I want to make sure that we're not talking about something that is rare. Just like we would train for fire drills, tornado drills in school. Now what schools are doing is they're starting to say, hey, we need to have a plan. The purpose of those drills really is to try to help the students think through a safety plan and feel a little bit more control in a situation that would be very dangerous. So schools have gone to having sometimes announced and sometimes unannounced shooting drills in which they first train the students on what to do. And it's a pretty basic strategy in most of the schools where they first say, you know, you run if you can run, and then you hide if you can't run. And then if you can't hide, you have to figure out a plan of attack as a way of maybe, you know, trying to stop the shooter from hitting or from shooting other people. But that's a very scary process. And it really came about, Carmen, I started thinking about this because we had a drill in my workplace and we actually had the police officers come in. They actually trained us in what to do in those three methods, how to scatter when we run and run in a zigzag formation and where to go in the building and think through in our building where we would go, where we would hide, where there are locks, where there are not locks. And we did not know. We knew it was going to happen on a day, but they didn't announce exactly when it was going to happen. And the officers actually came into the building and started shooting blanks at people. And we had to practice what we would do. And even though we're adults and we knew that this was a practice, you know, I ended up in my office underneath my desk, hiding with the lights out, had my cell phone with me. And I just, you know, started thinking, wow, you know, if this really happened, it was a little unnerving even for me. And I called my husband. I said, you know, we're in the middle of this practice and it feels a little unnerving. So I started to think, what would this feel like for someone who's not as mature, which are teenagers, and are hearing about this from their friends and on the news, and what would they do? And I started to think it could raise a lot of anxiety in kids, especially who are prone to anxiety. So that's where I started to think about this. And then I started to look at this a little bit, and it actually is a little bit controversial.
So the lead in the NBC article, I think you will find particularly provocative because we're not even talking about teenagers anymore. We're now talking about preschoolers. So this 4-year-old little boy was at a football game with his dad, and following a touchdown, there were these celebratory fireworks that were launched, and panicked, the little boy turned to his dad, screamed active shooter, and dropped to the ground.
Wow. Wow.
So I think that, right? Like, I think we are, we're going to have like kids with PTSD who've never been to war.
Right. And I read an article also by a young man who was he survived one of the shootings at one of the schools. And he said he had been trained because now think about it. This has been going on since 99 with Columbine. He said he was trained as a 4-year-old, as young as that child was, all the way up through his schooling, he was trained for these drills. And you have to wonder if it starts to set a pattern, especially in a very young child like that, who is not at the cognitive level of understanding of what that even means at the age of 4. You know, they can't abstract that kind of thinking. They're very concrete and they really can't understand even death at that stage. So it would be very difficult and it would be frightening. And that's one of the concerns, is that we're setting up a mindset of kids, you know, that maybe there is going to be impending danger. And we know that that's true in the world, but we certainly don't want our kids walking into school every day now thinking, well, could there be a tornado? Could there be a fire drill? Could there be an earthquake? Could a shooter come in? Could somebody, you know, overdose in my hallway from an illegal opioid? You know, it's like there's so many factors. And one of the things we're seeing among that age group is that they have higher rates of anxiety at this stage in their life than kids did years ago. So it definitely is impacting kids in the way they think.
So when we come back, Linda, let's talk about strategies that parents and folks at church can employ to maybe help kids reduce stress. Could we have that conversation?
That would be great. That'd be great.
All right. So Dr. Linda Mental and I are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about practical ways that you and I as parents and adults who care about kids in the culture today can actually be advocates for the reduction of stress instead of people who just pile more stress on our kids. I'm talking with Dr. Linda Mental. You can find her Saturdays right here on the Faith Radio Network. Her program's at 10:30 a.m. You can also find her online, drlindamental.com. We'll be right back. Happy birthday to you. This is a happy birthday for Linda's nephew, Chris. Happy birthday, Chris. Happy birthday.
So, Carmen, you're not a singer, I take it.
Oh, my gosh. No. See, that's terrible, right? I just try to hit, like, some sort of low range where, you know, try to offend no one. Yeah, no screeching, no nails on the chalkboard. And yeah, there you go.
Well, it's a thought.
I sing to the Lord, and I trust that he likes the sound of my voice.
That.
So there
you
go. I'm with Dr. Linda Mental. You can follow her online at drlindamental.com. We are talking today around this concept of school shooting drills, but we're going to make a transition here, Linda, and actually talk about what parents and other concerned adults can do to come alongside kids and actually help them reduce stress instead of are just continuing to add to their stress. So give us some starting points for this conversation.
So the first one I would say is that if there is an event in the news, or if your child brings it up, or they have a drill at school, the best thing is to talk about it. So a lot of times as parents, we think, well, we just don't want to bring up difficulty and problems because we want to protect our kids from having to feel anything negative. But that is really the opposite of what we need to do for resiliency training with children. If there's an event, if they hear something and they bring it up, then it's on their mind. And so you do need to just talk it through with them and say, okay, you know, you heard that at school today. Let's talk about it. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? What's going on? What would you do in those instances? And kind of help them walk through the issue. But the worst thing I think you can do is try to avoid it and act as if it's a non-issue, because the kids are very aware of what's going on. The second thing, Carmen, I would say is that you have to be very careful that you don't impose your own fears onto your kids. And this is something that we as parents can do very easily. I think when we look at the school shooting literature, we notice that it's the parents who are often more fearful of these events than the children are. And I understand that. I'm a parent. You know, when my children had to do these drills and and the shootings happened and they were very frightened, I had to be really careful that I didn't allow my fear to be transferred onto them. So that is a really good point. And you can use that as a teaching moment with your kids, where you can bring out scripture. And we did this in our family. You know, when the kids were a little bit afraid, they came home, they had heard this in the news. You know, we just talked about it at dinner as a family, and we said, look, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. That's what the Bible says. He's given us, you know, power, love, a strong mind. What can we do then to overcome that when it comes up? We have to believe that God is in control, that God is our protector. We continue to pray Psalm 91 over our family, and we trust the Lord in all things. And there's going to be a lot of scary things in the world. And this is one of your first times, maybe, that you have to really trust the Lord when you walk in, and you put down that fear when you hear it. You say, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to overcome that fear. So it's a great time to be able to talk to your kids about fear when that comes up. And then there's another one I really want to mention, is that there are so many kids, and I can't tell you, Carmen, the number of times parents have brought in their children to therapy and they're so anxious. And I'll ask a question. Are they watching a lot of the news?
Mm-hmm.
Are they watching horror films? Are they, you know, watching scary television programs? And they are. And I don't think we understand that when you watch trauma, the research now shows that you can be just as traumatized by witnessing trauma, and that includes witnessing trauma on media. So all these movies where people are constantly getting shot and killed and, you know, all these, I mean, there's just so many of those shows in one night, in movies and video games that are violent and shooting. And we know from all the research that that increases anxiety and in children. So if you have a particularly sensitive child, you really need to start thinking, what are they watching? What are they viewing? What are they playing? And I got to get an anchor on that. I got to get a hold on that.
So, again, just so folks who are maybe just joining us know what we're talking about, Dr. Linda Mental and I are discussing how we as adults can actually help our kids develop resilience as opposed to developing a spirit of fear, just in response and reaction to all the things that are happening in the world. Our conversation started with school shooting drills, which are taking place at schools across the country, and, you know, all the way down to little preschools and daycares. And so and obviously we know that our college students are engaged in these shooting drills as well. And so we just want to be mindful of the news, but we also want to be more mindful of Christ. And we want to be cultivating within our kids resilience as opposed to a spirit of fear and desperation. And as if the world is so hostile that, you know, that they are not safe in it. And so Linda has given us some great starting points. One is to talk it out. Another one is that you and I need to not be people who impose our fear on our kids. We need to use scripture. And then we need to help them understand what they're watching. And we need to help sort of keep them, keep their little minds protected as best we can, not only from what is real, but from what is fake in terms of the fear-producing, frankly, dystopian entertainment that is out there in the world. Linda, I would add to that, I find it helpful to get kids outside into nature, running around, soaking up the sunshine, be sure they're eating and sleeping right. I mean, I know these are all very, like, basic, but I have found that with the kids in my house, those are really, really helpful methods as well.
Well, and that's right on for stress reduction, because that's what we look at. We look at all parts of what's going on with a person when we're trying to help anybody with anxiety or stress, you know, because certain things that you eat can trigger anxiety. If kids are getting a lot of caffeine, that's going to trigger anxiety in a child. If they're not sleeping, that obviously the disrupted sleep is massively important with kids. And kids need, Carmen, 10 hours a night. And boy, I would challenge a lot of parents. Are your kids getting to bed and getting that 10 hours of sleep a night? Their bodies have to reboot. Their brains are growing. Their bones are growing. They need that sleep. And then the outside activity, when we look at stress reduction, one of the things that we tell people, go out into nature. There's something about being around nature, not even walking. So like people that live in cities, you know, they'll say, well, I'll just go out into the city and I'll walk. Well, the research doesn't support that that's really going to de-stress you as much as if you're in a park, you're somewhere where it's green, you're running out, you're somewhere where there's sunshine, because the vitamin D levels really help us. So all of those lifestyle factors, in addition to a very robust faith, and I think just knowing your child. Some kids are going to be more tempered towards anxiety just by their temperament. We just know that there's a genetic component to a lot of this as well as the environmental. So know your child, watch for the signs, look for kids that are irritable, restless, excitable, maybe a little sad, maybe they're crying more, maybe they're feeling a little more clingy. All of those signs are signs of anxiety with kids. And if they are anxious, then begin to talk to them. Use your faith as a way of helping them put their trust in Christ. And then if there is a kid who's triggered by these attacks, or I mean by these drills, then certainly get them some professional help and let somebody work with them as well.
Dr. Linda Mental, thank you as always for helping us get things into context and help us bring the mind of Christ to bear. You do it in such a gracious way. You guys can find her at drlindamental.com. I encourage you to listen to her program here on the Faith Radio Network, Saturdays at 10:30 a.m. Linda, we'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks, Carmen. Have a great week.
You too. All right, friends, I'm going to do Breakpoint, and then we'll be back. So I don't know about you, but I'm in, you know, as we do this last week of Lent, it's Holy Week, right? And
yes,
I'm just completely confessing that there are many things to which I committed at the beginning of these 40 days that I have failed. I have failed to do. So, but I'm restarting them for Holy Week. So I have a renewed commitment to the things I committed to at the beginning of Lent. And I figure that at least I can walk those out in the next 5-6 days. So let me encourage you, if you're with me and you somehow failed in some of your commitments during the 40 days of Lent, let's just recommit during Holy Week to some of those spiritual practices, spiritual disciplines, and see if we can faithfully walk with Christ this week. That would be a great encouragement. So David Aikman joins me every Monday to talk about international headlines, and we have been talking about Brexit. And really, by now, we should not be talking about Brexit anymore because it should be accomplished and over, and it is not. But we are now going to be talking about Brexit at least until Halloween. So next up, David Aikman filling us in on what's happening across the pond. We're also going to talk about Julian Assange and what's happening in Israel. All of that next here on Mornings with Carmen. So when I hear that, Paul, I think to myself, are not all of our interviews compelling?
Exactly.
So would all of our interviews be in the newsletter? In which case, couldn't people just subscribe to the Mornings with Carmen podcast?
Like,
wouldn't that be sufficient?
That would do the job right there.
There you go. So go to myfaithradio.com, click on podcasts, or click on programs. Program clicking is not one word, plicking. That's not actually a thing.
Well, so, it could be. I mean, you have video blogs or vlogs. And, I mean, go with it.
Click on the program. So you can click on programs and go to Mornings with Carmen, and you can actually subscribe to the podcast. Or you can go to the podcast tab and subscribe to the podcast. That's a great way, if you miss an episode, it's a great way to share what you hear with someone else. Maybe you just heard the conversation we had with Dr. Linda Mental, and you say to yourself, you know what? I know some parents of some kids to whom that conversation would be really helpful. Or I know some friends who've got missionaries who they support in Sudan or somewhere else, and maybe they would like that Mission Network news segment that Carmen did today with Ruth Kramer. On and on and on. So you can always go back and grab the podcast at myfaithradio.com and share it with someone new. We're also this month giving away CSB Worldview Bibles, and you can enter to win those at myfaithradio.com as well.
Recently, one of my good friends asked, Mark, what does my teen need from me? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. My answer was this. They need you to be imperfect. Not what you were expecting, right? Teens long to connect, engage, and have meaningful relationship. But here's something I've realized after the decades of working with kids. They don't give a rip that I write books. They aren't impressed that I speak around the country. And they couldn't care less about my big mustache. But they do connect when I share my struggles, my hurts, and my stupid mistakes. So what does your teen need from you today? They need you to be imperfect, because once you're both on the same playing field, then a true connection can flourish.
Want more help from Mark Gregston? Find books and other resources online at parentingtodaysteens.org. That's parentingtodaysteens.org.
My name is Bond, James Bond.
That's the walk-up music for Dr. David Aikman. Dear sir, welcome back.
Carmen, very nice to be again on your program. Thank you.
Well, it's always nice to talk with you. You have a perspective on Brexit that we over here in the colonies do not always share. So they have a new date. We know it as Halloween. Other people know it as the day before Reformation, but it's going to be October 31st. Tell us, bring us up to speed, and then give us some thoughts about what we can expect between now and then.
Well, you know, this business of when the UK is actually going to leave the EU has been an on and off sort of non-amusing tension game for several weeks. First, it was March 29th. Theresa May, the Prime Minister, said that was definitely going to be the date when Britain would leave the EU one way or another. Then Parliament, members of Parliament, got in on the act and they said, well, this has been so clumsily handled by the government, we MPs should decide how we're going to get through it. So they did a series of motions in Parliament, all of which passed, which forced the government to indicate that it should ask for a delay from the EU so that Britain could leave with a deal, that the deal that was agreed between the EU and Theresa May, and she asked for an extension from the European Union of just several weeks, but the member countries of the EU were split between countries like France that wanted to be a very short extension and other countries that wanted it to be a much longer. So they split the difference, and I think France wanted to do it by June or something, and the other country said, no, we want it by December. So it's going to be in October, as you say, Halloween, which is an appropriate date for a political exercise which has horrified and bored and bamboozled as many Brits as you can count. It's an extraordinary episode. I've never seen anything like it in my knowledge of British politics in the last several decades.
So, David, my particular personal concern, because she's on my prayer list as a sister in Christ, is Theresa May, and I wonder,
right?
I wonder how she leads now. How does a person lead it now?
Well, you know, she's in a most peculiar situation because many members of the Conservative Party are fed up with her leadership. There are definite members of her own cabinet who are actually hoping to succeed her. But none of them seems to want a leadership challenge at this point. And in any case, it's prohibited because there's a one-year limit on requests to change the leadership of the Conservative Party. And that expires sometime much later this year. So she's in power largely because people feel it's better to have her in taking the accusations and abuse and everything for what's going wrong than have her out and have a scrimmage for leadership. Now, of course, the other thing, Carmen, going on is that Theresa May is sitting down for talks with the Labour Party to see if they can have a cross-party agreement on the terms of exiting the EU. The Labour Party, their bottom line is we want a new referendum. She's absolutely adamant against that, as are most Conservative members of Parliament. So if the only hope, really, for getting out of the EU early enough not to have to participate in EU elections on May 23rd is to have an agreement that gets through in the next few weeks. Unlikely, though, that may be.
I would love to talk with you about Julian Assange and that entire saga and story. But David, let's take a quick break. So you're listening to Mornings with Carmen, my conversation partner, David Aikman, editor of Godspeed Magazine, and frankly, the person with the most beautiful voice I talk to week in and week out. He and I will be right back to talk about Julian Assange.
Be strong in the Lord and never give up hope. You're gonna do great things.
Returning to my conversation with Dr. David Aikman, editor of Godspeed Magazine, and picking up on the storyline of Julian Assange. I'm actually going to just let you take this and run with it any direction you want. I feel like we could talk about anarchy, we could talk about asylum, we could talk about international intrigue, we could talk about American politics. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I think the dilemma of Assange, or the dilemma facing governments that have an interest in getting Assange out of London, is a very strange one. As you know, he was originally wanted for extradition to Sweden on the basis of rape charges made by two Swedish women. And that was the priority. And the reason he took asylum in the Ecuadorian embassy was that he feared that if he was extradited to Sweden, the Swedes might turn him over to the Americans, who had much more serious charges against him than rape, and he might even get the death penalty. Although, frankly, that would be a rather unlikely scenario. But he got into trouble with the Ecuadorian government, who changed its president in 2017, and a new president who had the wonderful name of Lenin Peron really didn't like him and didn't like the fact that WikiLeaks was apparently focusing on alleged corruption allegations in the new presidential family. So they wanted him out of the embassy pronto. And then there were all sorts of additional complaints that Assange had been unhygienic in the embassy, that I don't know what that refers to, but some very unpleasant allegations against Assange for his behavior. And the fact is that Assange had been running his own WikiLeaks linked program of opinions from within the embassy, and that was embarrassing also to the Ecuadorians. So finally they got him out, and the question is, which extradition order will take priority? Will it be the Swedes, who want him on rape charges, or will it be the Americans? Now, the curious thing is the Labour Party in the House of Commons is adamant that the British government should hand him over to the Swedes, because they think that if he goes to the Americans, he'll probably get a heavy sentence. He's very unlikely to get a death sentence, but he would get several years in prison. And many in the Labour Party rather like the point of view that Assange has taken, basically to expose alleged criminal activity by the American government. Now, the other peculiar thing about this is that President Trump, when he was in the campaign for the election in 2016, kept making comments favorable to Assange because he was grateful for WikiLeaks disclosures that embarrassed the Democratic Party. So you've got a strange mixture, strange cocktail of political intrigue going along on both sides of the Atlantic. And I think if he goes to America, he could be indicted on the grounds of poaching that American who was in the embassy in Baghdad to hack into U.S. government files. But I don't think he would be indicted on grounds of espionage, because people might say, well, he was expressing a political point of view which is defended by the First Amendment. So it's a very strange concoction of different allegations against Assange at this point.
So I think from a Christian worldview, you know, we want to be encouraging people to stay focused on the truth, and that the truth matters, and that justice matters, that freedom matters, that national sovereignty matters, and that citizenship matters. Those are all kinds of conversations that you could have today in relationship to Julian Assange, in addition to maybe privacy concerns and conversations as well related to information available on the Internet. Dr. Aikman, I'd love to talk with you about Israel. We're going to run out of time if we don't transition there pretty quickly. So I'd love your perspective on the recent Israeli elections.
Well, I think once again, the opinion polls dominated by liberal leftist groups have shown themselves to be completely wrong. I mean, the predictions that the opposition party, Benny Gantz, who's a respected retired army person, would win hands down, had been proven completely wrong. And I think, like it or not, Netanyahu is associated with a major stance of national protection, protecting the country against terrorism and international coalitions against it. And he's really done a creditable job, plus the fact he secured a very good relationship with Donald Trump, who basically is backing up Israel's security by various ways. So I think it's a very interesting result, and I'm glad to see that all the polls once again have been proven wrong.
So I think that in terms of predictability or stability in the region, this is really good. I do think that there are maybe renewed concerns about, you know, hot war. And so I think that it's certainly, you know, we're always going to keep our eye on Israel, and we're always going to keep our prayers headed in the direction of the peace of Jerusalem. I'm wondering if in this last minute that we have, if you have a perspective, you know, maybe from history, you've been watching this for a longer period of time than most of us. Anything in particular that you think we should keep our eye on?
Well, I think Bibi Netanyahu has done a very good job in cobbling together that portion of the Israeli electorate that is basically nationalistic and is strong on defense matters. But he doesn't have particularly strong views on social issues, but he does on economic issues. And I think the fact that the Israeli economy has done so well for so many years is a credit to his leadership in that area of national life.
Dr. Aikman, thank you as always for joining us. We appreciate your insights.
Well, thank you so much, Carmen. It's always a pleasure to be on the program.
Well, thank you. Have a blessed day. All right, friends, I'm going to take one more quick break. When we get back, we'll wrap it up for the day. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. So today is April the 15th, and in the United States of America, that means it is what we affectionately call Tax Day. If you want to get a little relief today from... I don't know. I don't know if we get tax relief on tax day or not. I don't know. But there are lots of companies jumping in to help relieve what we might think of as the stress of tax day. You can get banana. You can get a free small frozen yogurt today at Bananas Smoothies and Frozen Yogurt. I don't know if you have one of those. California Tortilla has something cool going on. Great American Cookies. Now, that's something that I know where they are. You can get a free original chocolate chip cookie today. Hardee's has a sausage biscuit apparently today that you get I don't know if it's totally free, but there you go. I'm not going to recommend that one. Let's see. You could scroll down the list. Office Depot, Office Max, Planet Fitness, on and on. Check it out at usatoday.com. There's actually lots of lists of tax day freebies available on the web today. If you are a person who wants to know what I'm paying attention to, what I'm watching and looking at, I certainly will be paying attention today to the outcomes of the Supreme Court. They are expected to issue some decisions today that we most certainly will be talking about tomorrow and the rest of the week. So if you want to check that out, I watch the SCOTUS blog. And then as I walk the weekend conversations out into the world, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to be talking about the Game of Thrones. I'm going to be talking about the Masters and celebrating Tiger Woods, you know, comeback victory. But man, I am absolutely going to be celebrating that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has won the Game of Thrones for all time. And during this Holy Week, that's what I want to help keep people focused on, first and foremost, myself. So as you are thinking about what you're thinking about and walking your faith out into the world that God so loves, let's remember that Jesus Christ is ultimately upon the throne, and he is the Master of Masters, King of Kings, Lord of all. Visit me online at reconnectwithcarmen.com. Have a great day, and God bless. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge from Faith Radio. If you haven't, you can subscribe to automatically receive the podcast through iTunes or the Google Play Music app. That way, you never miss an episode. It's also available anytime at myfaithradio.com.